You are now listening to the CRC podcast, brought to you by Pastor At Bosif. We trust that this message will change your life forever.
Well, good to see all of you. A big hug to each one of you. A big kiss. I now understand after this lockdown why Paul said greet the brethren with a holy kiss. Hey, not the sestren, the brothers. I'll kiss you righteously, all of you. I've missed you. And I'm excited about the rest of this year. Take your seat in heavenly places, those of you on the balcony, the few, you are closer to God. Let's talk for a moment on a word that is a now word for the church. And the message, the hour of worship. I believe one of the greatest revivals is heading to planet Earth. But this will be preceded by a wave of worship. And although Satan doesn't know everything, he knows that God is up to something. And one of the things he wants to stop is our worship to God. Because worship attracts the presence of God. Worship creates the atmosphere of heaven on earth. And we're not talking about light worship, okay? There's no castle light yet today, okay? There's only a Holy Ghost wine. So if you love Jesus, come on, just make the devil mad, jump to your feet, and give God your biggest praise that you can this morning in Jesus' name. Great to see all those people in Johannesburg. You see all these things up here, not monitors, they screens, Bloemfontein North. This is not our biggest auditorium. The biggest auditorium is in Bloemfontein, and almost 30 years of revival in that city. We are grateful. Amen. The hour of worship. Genesis chapter 22. And I read verse 1 to 18. Bible says it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Thank God he had a relationship with God. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Amen. And offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning. He didn't wait so that he could change his mind. He rose early. I'm sure he didn't even sleep that night. And saddled his donkey and took two of the young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abram lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abram said to the young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship. Everybody say worship. Abram understood, or Abraham, God's name added to his name, Jehovah, Abram, Abraham. He understands that the sacrifice God calls him to make is the highest act of worship. And we're going to talk about it this morning. He's not afraid. He's not uncertain about what the future holds because he has a relationship with God and he is a worshiper. Hear me clearly. So Abram took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son, type of Christ, we understand, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and two of them went together. And Isaac spoke to Abram, his father, and he said, my father. And he said, here I am. Next time you call my name, I'm going to say, here I am. Okay? Because I see that's how they spoke in those days. God talks to Abram and says, here I am. I'm Yah. Yitzhak, talk to me. Here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abram said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. We just celebrated this last weekend. Come on. We celebrated the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Come on. We are saved because of Jesus. We have a future and we have a hope because of the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. Come on. If you agree and you love Jesus, you can give him a praise because this is a service with a difference. Come on. There in One Gospel TBN. Jump out of your lazy boy and give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. So they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abram built an altar. Underline that, highlight that in your iPad. and placed the wood in order and bound Isaac, 17 years old, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abram stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate Christ, angel, capital letter, Jesus himself, called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said again, here I am. Now imagine that his emotions got the better of him and he did not hear Jesus the second time. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad, nor do anything to him. For now I know that you fear the Lord God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abram lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abram went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. That's what happened on Calvary. God offered Jesus in our stead. That's why we can never stop worshiping and loving God with the love that He loved us. That's why we will not have a government dictate to us whether we can praise and worship our God. Can I have an amen? We are going to praise God and we are going to worship God and we are going to be more radical about God and see revival in South Africa in Jesus' name. So Abram called the name of the place, the Lord will provide, or one of God's redemptive names in the Old Testament, Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Yireh, which means God will provide. In the mountain of the Lord. The mountain represents the place of worship. A lot of things that God wants to reveal to His people, but people are not in that place of intimacy where they actually hear God and they obey the divine instructions from God Himself. Remember, this is not a religion. This is a relationship. This is one-on-one. This is communion. We do not serve God through a bishop, through a saint, through a mediator, through an ancestor. We worship God through Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price so we can have access into the throne of grace, the Bible says. So the angel of the Lord called to Abraham the second time from heaven and he said, now listen to this, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. In blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. So what Satan planned is going to backfire big time in his face. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Everything that was meant to harm you, God is going to turn around to bless you, as God did for Joseph. Can you handle it? So with this bright shirt of mine, you can call me Pastor Joseph this morning. Okay. So he says, in blessing, I'm going to bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your descendants. He says, in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Listen now, because you have obeyed my voice. I want to say this again. Recently, as I was praying, the Holy Spirit said to me that Satan wants to steal the worship from God. And you may sit here today and say, but Pastor, God needs nothing. And you are right. God is all sufficient. God is the great I am. God has no beginning and no end. God is not sitting on the throne all needy this morning. But you better believe that we were created by God and we were created for God. And we have the need in us to worship. That's why wherever you go, you will find people worship something, whether it's a tree stump, whether it's the moon, whether it's the stars, whether it is science, whether it is worshiping their own deity, their own humanism, as we see in the world right now, where man is trying to act like man's savior. Man wants to be the God of this world. And there's going to be no scientist, not even Bill Gates, that now wants to spray things into the stratosphere to stop global warming. He's not going to save our planet. 2,000 years ago, God sent a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ, and He still deserves all the praise and the worship, and we still have to elevate and exalt His name above every other name. Can I have an amen? We need to lift Him up above COVID, above our challenges, above our trials, above our pain, above our misery, above our failures. We have to lift up the name of Jesus, because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no government that will save you. No political party that will save you. There is one Savior, one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ. So though we thank God for our scientists and our government and we pray for them, we have a greater obligation, and that is to worship our God. I mean, even when Peter, when Paul and Silas were put in prison, they worshipped. And I understand some of you are sitting in home, you're afraid to go to church, and I don't criticize you. But you better get ready, because if you don't go back to church, somebody else is going to be sitting in your seat. Because people are hungry, and people are ready, and people are fed up with the lies of the devil. People want to get back in the presence of God and have a God encounter. Am I talking to somebody that is tired of dead religion? Somebody that wants to get back into the presence of a living God with other Christians and magnify the name of Jesus and shout louder than every other noise out there in the world? Come on, child of God, in Jesus' name. So we were created by God to worship. And if we don't worship, we become dysfunctional. We've seen in this lockdown more craziness than ever before. More marital problems, more emotional problems, more teenage suicides, 25% more teenage pregnancies. It's like people, and I'm not talking about people of the world, I'm talking about people that used to go to church and people who used to worship God, and this is all over the world. It's like many people have just become crazy. They've lost their minds. Why? Because we were created by God with a need to worship. Hear me very, very carefully. Not sit in your corner and suck your thumb and intellectualize your Christian experience. Because part of worshiping God is offering sacrifices. And I'm going to talk about it, because if we talk about sacrifice today, people get confused. We're not talking about sacrifice that will save you, because the Bible says there remains no more sacrifice. We're not talking about that. We're talking about sacrifices of obedience. Sacrifice is that which costs you something, which is required for any relationship where there's dialogue. Think about your children. You sacrifice all the time. As a parent, you have to get up. I sat with somebody the other night, and she gets up 5 o'clock to give food to her child who's 7 years old in bed. I said, why do you do that? She said, because he's only here for another year. I said, good thing he's not my boy, because I'd kick him out of bed. I ain't sacrificing no more. 17-year-old boy. But if you want a great marriage, there's sacrifice, right? It's not just steak. Somehow we think in this relationship with God, because Jesus paid the ultimate price, we can just sit and soak, and we have no obligation back towards God. We're going to talk about that today. What our worship involves. Why should we worship? What happens if we stop worshiping God? We literally disconnect, because God is a spiritual being, and worship is a spiritual experience. It's not a physical experience. It's not an intellectual experience. It's not an experience where you can control the encounter. We love to be in control, and having hundreds of doctors just in this church, and so many legal people, very intellectual city like Bloemfontein, everybody has a degree, a master's, etc. It's very often the challenge for people to go beyond the intellect to the spirit dimension, where you connect with God. That's why the scientists that we have tried to meet with on numerous occasions that advise the president, we've had 7 meetings with the president, of which I'm part of, and advised, and every time the scientists advised something else. We have challenged again and again. Our own scientists want to meet with those scientists. Because when you disrupt a man's spiritual being, you disrupt his whole being. His soul, his intellect, his emotions. You're a spirit being. You were created by God for worship. You were created to experience God and to encounter God. Not by yourself, but with other people, other believers. Isaiah 43 verse 7, the Bible says, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. Lift your hand today and say, I was created for God's glory. Say it, say it, say it. I wasn't created just to survive COVID. This COVID may still be around for 2-3 years. And as I say, we have the scientific proof, you'll not get a safer environment than our CRC auditoriums. Yeah, let's give the Lord a glory for, let's give God praise for our scientists and doctors that have done such a great job to make sure that when you walk in this place, it's safer than any aeroplane, taxi, shopping center. We will not risk with your life, but we will not allow people that are unspiritual to determine the future of the church. Because we were created to worship God. Sitting fearfully afraid is not to the glory of God. And if you were afraid a year ago, I understand it. But you can't be afraid anymore. Because when you have understanding, then fear should go. Bible says get wisdom, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. So we know how this virus operates. We know that this virus is one of many other viruses, but we are not going to allow this to determine our level of worship. Can I have an amen from somebody in television land? Amen. So Matthew 4 verse 8 to 10, Jesus, in his hour of temptation, Satan, again the devil, took him up an exceeding high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of this world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and worship me. So, I mean, that is huge. Because who we worship determines our value, our pursuit, our identity. Who or what? Your pursuit reveals your worship. Some people worship their jobs. Solomon, the wisest, wealthiest man that ever lived, second wisest man next to Jesus Christ, who came as both God and man, who had everything at the end of his life, says it's all vanity. Afrikaans het dit mooi sê, sy jaag na wind. He says one thing remains: fear God, worship him, and do his will. Of course, that's a man's all. So yes, Satan comes to Jesus. He says, I'll give you success, I'll give you prominence, I'll make you the greatest sports player in the world, I'll give you the whole world, I'll make you the king of kings, I'll make you the politicians of all politicians. I just ask you, stop worshiping the living God and worship me. Worship the graven image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. Worship the system of the world. And Jesus responds the way every believer should respond. And Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Can I have an amen? And somebody to give the Lord a 10-second praise. Hallelujah. Away with you, Satan. When God sent Moses to go to Pharaoh, there were all these magicians. I don't want to say what they are today. Around the throne of Moses. Or around the throne of Pharaoh. With their smart tactics to keep the children of Israel in bondage. I almost said what those people are today, but I'll be insulting some of them watching on television that are controlling the climate of the church in South Africa, which is ungodly, unrighteous. People in positions of authority today that will not be in positions of authority tomorrow, deciding about the eternal future of Christianity. And you're okay with it? God sends Moses and he says to those magicians, I'm very tempted to say, thank God I have a sanctified mind, otherwise I would say. He says, go tell that Pharaoh and all his magicians that they have to let my people go because they were controlling God's people through knowledge, through facts, through intimidation, through manipulation, through fear. And then God stepped in, as God's going to step into planet Earth, and God's going to smash Satan up the side of the head, and the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever, and there will be the greatest glory that this world has ever seen. Shout amen, someone, in the name of Jesus. There will be the greatest glory. to the woman at the well of Samaria, a religious woman. She's a sinner. She had five husbands. Whether they died, whether she poisoned them, whether she divorced them, the Bible doesn't say. But Jesus reaches out to her, and then she becomes all religious. And this is what Jesus says. He says in John chapter 4, verse 23, he says, the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? You need your own encounter with Jesus Christ. You cannot serve Jesus through your tradition. You cannot serve Jesus because of your religion. You cannot serve Jesus because of your white culture or your black culture. You have to serve Jesus for yourself. You have to have a God encounter. You have to recognize that it is God who delivered you, and it's God who saved you, and it's the blood of Jesus that washed you, and it is the name of Jesus that is your access card into the heavens. That's what you have to realize. Not your denomination, not your saint, not your opa groeikie, ni jou kultuur nie. There is no other name under heaven. That's what Jesus is saying. The hour comes. And then she talks about the Messiah, and we're going to talk about that tonight. A revelation of Jesus, because once you have a revelation of Jesus, there's no man in this world that can control you or intimidate you. Once you see Jesus for who he is, once you fall in love with Jesus, once you experience and encounter the love of Jesus Christ, and that's the sacrifice that I speak about. The sacrifice that Jesus loved us with, to love him with the same sacrifice. Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, we love him because he first loved us. You don't wake up one morning and decide, I'm going to be a follower of Christ. Oh no, my brother and my sister. You get touched by the Holy Ghost when you walk into a church where the presence of God is, and suddenly the scales fall off of your eyes and you realize, but this Jesus is alive. He's more than a tradition. He's more than a Bible verse. He is a living creator of heaven and earth, and your eyes are open. And you experience not condemnation and judgment in the presence of Jesus Christ. You experience love like you have never experienced in your life. And that life restores you. That love stabilizes you and heals you. And then your journey of following him is a journey rooted in love. You cannot love him enough. You cannot love him back enough. You cannot sacrifice enough. Not because of works, but because he has won your heart. You are no longer yours. Not intellectually. You encountered him, the Messiah. No substitute for that. These people that are part of that Wits University survey that says the first thing they're willing to give up is their right to go to a place of worship, those are the people that have not met him. They have met religion. Like saying you love your wife, but you're willing to give up a relationship with your wife because she's got some disease or she's got depression. And you just walk away, or you said I do, but when you said I do, there was never a real love. Like young people sometimes, I marry him for what he can do for me. And this is what I say, people fall in love with the idea of Christianity. They fall in love with religion. They fall in love with the excitement of somebody else, so their passion does not last. I tell young people all the time, God does not have grandchildren. God does not have orphans. Everybody needs to experience the new birth where you have an authentic encounter with Jesus Christ. Like, you know, that girl that you knew for 2 years in church, Nicodemus, he didn't instantly fall in love with Jesus, but he pursued Jesus. And then at one stage, his eyes opened. And he was the only man when Jesus was crucified, except for John, who was a little bit further away, who was at the foot of the cross. Somewhere, he fell in love. It's like you saw that girl and you thought she's okay and she's cool. And then suddenly you sit in the church and you look at her and you say, wow. Suddenly your eyes were open and you don't see any other girl, right? Huh? And you know you what? I'm in love. And every time you see her, your heart skips a beat. Some of you are married 40 years and your heart, you wish your heart skipped a beat. Amen. No, man. No. No, you still have that tenderness. This is the relationship we're talking about. A relationship that is fueled by love. This is Abraham. Remember, Abraham, his relationship with God, and we are partakers of the Abrahamic covenant, which is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Amen. The seed of Abraham, capital letter S, is Jesus himself. So we are heirs according to the promise. The Abrahamic covenant, which is fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Right? So Abraham, this is 430 years before the law was given. This is where God comes to Abram, and God calls Abram, come out of your father's house. Listen, come out of your land. So when we talk about separation, sacrifice, there's always a coming out of something and a coming unto someone. You have to leave to cleave. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife. A love relationship. Not an arranged marriage. Falling in love with Jesus. So Abram, we know Sodom and Gomorrah. Abram was a man who walked with God. Genesis 18. Abram was a man who walked intimately with God. So God knew that Abram would respond. Abram was a man who had dialogue. He's a worshiper. He understands that the act of sacrifice requires the building of an altar, which is the place of sacrifice. Where I worship God, part of your altar of worship is the local church, which is what Satan has wanted to take out of community. Say amen if you agree with that, and you know what I'm saying is true. So I have 12 minutes left for television's sake. So three things your worship involves, and I have to close quickly. Sudden landing. Okay, number one involves your total surrender. Worship requires surrender. Abram, early in the morning, didn't debate God. Didn't go ask Sarah. Didn't go to a committee. He rose early in the morning, understood. That God would not ask me anything that would be not reciprocated in my life. The Bible says in Hebrews, he even believed that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. It's nothing you will give God that God will not give you back. No sacrifice greater than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Amen. So our worship involves surrender. Surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We used to say it. We don't say it anymore. But we have to say it to young people again. If Jesus is not Lord of all, Jesus is not Lord at all. We talk about a total surrender. Mark chapter 8, 34 in the Passion Translation, Jesus had his disciples and the crowd gather around him. There's always the followers, then there are the fans, or the fans, the majority, and then the true followers. People who follow Jesus no matter what. Because they have surrendered. They don't have to decide every day or every Sunday. I might go to church or I might give my tithe. Or I might witness. They are people that have surrendered to the grace of God and to the Lordship of Jesus. I mean, sometimes people get this understanding that your relationship with God is like God having to wrestle you into submission. God's not going to wrestle you. He's going to love you in submission. Amen. No longer will you be Peter or Simon. You will be Peter. One touch from God's love and that should be enough. That should suffice to turn you from a Jacob to an Israel, a prince with God. Says, if you truly want to follow me, you should at once completely disown your own life. Woo! You must be willing to share my cross and experience it as your own. What is the cross? It's the cross of suffering. What is the suffering the Bible talks about? Well, the suffering Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweated great drops of blood. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. It's not suffering of sickness and disease and poverty. He redeemed you from those very things as part of the curse of the law. It is a suffering of surrendering your will. Your will horizontally crossing the will of God vertically, and you submit to the will of God. More than anything else, it's a suffering. Sometimes the place of surrender is where you have your greatest challenges when you're alone with God, because you have to surrender to God's will beyond your own will and your own desire. Are you listening to me? It says, as you experience or continually surrender to my ways, for if you let your life go for my sake and for the sake of the gospel purpose, you will continually experience true life. But if you choose to keep your life for yourself, you will forfeit what you try to keep. Short-term gain, long-term pain. For what use is it to gain all the wealth and power of this world with everything it could offer you at the cost of your own life? Or the New King James Bible says, at the cost of your soul. You lose your peace, you lose your joy, you lose your sense of relationship with God. He says, what will you exchange? What will you sacrifice? How big must the bribe be for you to sell out? How big must the challenge be for you to stop believing that Jesus is still able? How great must the sin be where you begin to doubt in the forgiving power of a Savior and the blood that speaks mercy and not judgment? So when we talk about exchange, we spoke about it last Sunday or Friday, we talk about a beautiful exchange. Your unrighteousness for His righteousness. Your pride for His humility. Your self-preservation for a life of sacrifice. Living Christ. We're not talking about becoming a worm, because He promised, I will make you the head and not the tail. He says in the Message Bible, Deuteronomy 28, He says, I will make you the top dog. So as a doctor, as a lawyer, as an architect, God says, I'm going to take you to the highest place. But you will remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant with you. Place of worship is where we cast our crowns down. The place of worship is where we remember. The place of worship we can see throughout the book of Revelation. The 24 elders that fall down before the throne of God and they cast their crowns before God. Crowns, their achievements, their status, which God says to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make your name great. So it doesn't mean when you serve God, you become a nobody. On the contrary, God says, I'm going to take you from a nobody to a somebody. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. But you remember and you give the worship and you give the glory as a sportsman, as a doctor. You remember that what you receive comes by the hand of God and you were created to worship God. You will not build monuments like Saul did. You will build memorials of God's goodness and God's grace, and you will talk to your children about the goodness of God and the grace of God, and you will tell your world about the saving grace of God and what God has done in your life, and you will be unashamed of Jesus Christ in your generation. Oh, come on, somebody, shout amen and give Him a praise in Jesus' name. Says, for what use is it to gain wealth and power of the world with everything it could offer? And it costs you your own life. What could be more valuable to you than your own soul? If you're ashamed of me and my words while living among sinful and faithless people, then I, the Son of Man, will also be ashamed of you when I make my appearance with my holy messages in the glorious splendor of my Father. My time is up. I want to say this to you. Most people live for the moment. They go on social media to get likes, and they do not realize that they are eternal beings and that we live for eternity. You can have people applaud you and clap your hands and side with you today and violate that which is dear to God, and you will lose out on eternity. Make it clear, I respect our government, and I pray for our government. I respect our president. I respect politicians. We have several ministers who attend this church, many politicians, many police officers. People of all walks of life attend this very church. We've engaged again and again and again and again. And obviously at some stage we have to make up our minds to say, we are going to worship God in a safe environment. We are not going to sit down and shut up any longer. A year has been a year too long. We were created by God, and we were created for God, and we were created to worship God. Oh, come on, say amen in the name of Jesus Christ. If people can go to taverns and people can shout about everything, why can we not shout about Jesus Christ? The Bible says, clap your hands, all you people, shout unto God with a voice of triumph. We were created by God to dance for Him, to celebrate Him, to worship Him, to offer our sacrifices. Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God. Romans chapter 12 verse 1, he says that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. So I was created by God. I was created for God. I was created, whether I'm a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, an architect, an engineer, a teacher, a child, a student. I was created by God, for God, for the glory of God. I was created to worship God unashamedly. I was allowed, created by God, to be loud and unashamed, and to make Jesus more famous in my world. Can we give Jesus Christ one more praise offering in this place this morning in Jesus' name? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can give me peace again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. He paid the price 2,000 years ago. And more than ever, people need the message of the gospel and hear about the goodness of God. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. In this place, in all our churches where people are gathered, on television as well, right in your lounge this morning. Is God talking to you? Do you have to come back to the place of worship, to the heart of worship? As your love may be grown cold in this time that the Bible talks about, in the last days, many people's love will wax cold. People's hearts will grow cold. Jesus talks to the church. He says, I have one thing against you. You're neither hot nor cold. You've become lukewarm. When we begin to worship God again, the temperature will become heaven's temperature. You say, Pastor, what must I do? Surrender all to Him. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving. Right in front of your television, there's a stirring in your heart. That's God calling you, talking to you, to surrender. That's where it starts. 2,000 years ago, Jesus surrendered Himself on the cross. All you have to do is surrender your life back to Him. Every head bowed, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need a fresh start with God. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. While every head is bowed, people praying on the floor, the balcony, whoever you are, wherever you are. That is the cry of your heart this morning. If that's you, then quietly, just wherever you are, slip your hand up, please. I want to say a prayer for you right where you are. Raise it up, raise it up, raise it up. It matters that you respond to heaven's invitation. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you all over this place. I want you to put your hand on your heart right where you are this morning. Say this simple prayer according to the Bible. Say, Jesus, today I give myself back to you. I surrender all to you. I open my heart and I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. In Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information on CRC, visit www.crc.org.za.